Lecture one for 3041. So the topics that we're going to cover then start in the natural environment. We're going to look at air chemistry. In first year we talked about the chemistry of the troposphere and the stratosphere at an introductory level. We're going to go into a significant amount more detail. We're then going to move into aquatic chemistry, and we'll look at the differences between freshwater and marine chemistry. We'll look at terrestrial chemistry in terms of what's going on in terms of the underlying minerals that turn into soils and the organic matter that helps develop a soil structure. We'll look at biogeochemical cycles, and the difference between first year and third year is that in first year you do one biogeochemical cycle in one lecture, and third year you do three biogeochemical cycles in one lecture. And I'm expecting then that you read around these sort of topics. Now, I'm not necessarily going to examine all three of them. As usual, I will aid you when it comes to tests and exam time, so I'll probably sort of truncate that down to maybe two of the three or something like that. But what we're trying to do is develop the idea that not everything's the same as the carbon cycle, so you should have some idea of the different cycles to see which things are likely to be sensitive or insensitive. We then get to the middle section of the course, which is the analytical chemistry section. We first of all go through how we sample in a practical sense, then how we separate out the things that we're interested in, and then the methods used to analyse and generate results. That part of the course then will be the trickiest part, as I indicated to a few people before, of the subject, because that is actually the nuts and bolts chemistry part. Now, the practicals, which most everybody enjoys, are analytical chemistry. They're the practical end of analytical chemistry. This is the theoretical part of analytical chemistry, and most people find it sort of a little dry, and reading the textbooks therefore a little challenging. But your final grade will largely be determined by how much enthusiasm you have got for delving into those dry textbooks, because the first section of the chemistry of the natural environment and the last section, chemistry of the polluted environment, everybody finds pretty interesting sort of reading. So stepping through the topics there, we'll look at nuclear wastes and how they're dealt with. We'll look at conventional energies, the pollutants they generate, and alternative energies. Because pollution chemistry deals with chemicals that are often toxic, I have to introduce you to a bit of the language of toxicology. We'll look at the greenhouse effect and make sure that you understand properly how this works and some of the standard sort of language that's in use. We look at smog chemistry, which is a significant issue in cities like Melbourne, Sydney, even Brisbane's got a bit. If you fly into Brisbane, you usually notice there's a good bit of smog sitting above the city. We talk a bit about indoor air quality. There's often pollutants in new buildings, water pollution, acid sulfate soils, which are a major issue up this coast of Australia and over in WA as well. Then we move into the nasty organic chemicals class, which are persistent organic toxic chemicals, such as the chlorinated compounds like DDT and dioxin, and the heavy metal chemistry, and we just pick a couple of examples, lead and mercury. And then finally, at the end of the course, we deal with how we treat a contaminated environment. So new methods for cleaning up processes and methods of dealing with soils, for instance, sediments, once they have been polluted with various